21, 108. All I can assume is that no time has actually passed since Thomas's world. My space-time world is a way of viewing the same world he is viewing, but in a different way. Rome circa AD 45 and USA 1974 are aspects of one reality. Supra, I've gone deeply into this. I have the extraordinary revealed sentence to go on. He causes things to look different, so it'd appear time has passed. I have energetically exegeted this sentence with stunning results. To recap, there is only seeming difference. Therefore, there is no real difference. The purpose of this seeming but irreal difference is to bilk us into believing time has passed. Therefore, no time has passed. He does it. Therefore, a conniving, deceiving he is involved who has power over us, specifically the power to generate what I call look difference. All this somehow explains how, when Thomas epiphanized in me, his world and my world could be superimposed syntonically. The key to this syntonic superimposition lies, if anywhere, in this AI-revealed sentence. But I simply can't grasp it. What is really out there? Aha, the word things, i.e. external objects. So an objective reality of some kind exists. But although it appears to change, and from this our brains erroneously infer that time, whatever that is, has passed, it does in fact not change, i.e. the look difference, are faked indices of change. When something changes, it usually looks different. So we go on the ladder and do not appreciate the distinction. Someone, this he, has traded on this elementary confusion, this, so to speak, laziness of our brains. Who the hell is this he? My syntonic superimposition experience is inscrutable. And the sentence is so pregnant with meaning as to be open to a variety of explications. But if the two are joined, then the truth emerges. I grasp it intuitively, but can't verbally formulate it. 21, 131. Since we are within the arranging entity's power, our experience of world could be induced not by the ordering of data, but by rearranging our perception of those data, i.e., as the Buddhist idealists realized, there is no way to tell. There is no way to tell where self ends and world begins. Maybe the distinction has no meaning, which is a startling thought. 21, 137. Paranoia is a projection of pattern instead of a reception of pattern. It is an overmastery by self, again a failure to be receptive. Outer world must be trustingly received, since it is God Himself. October to November, 1978. Folder 22. 22.1. We are being fed a spurious reality. Only in rare cases are people doomed to be saved, i.e., to experience reality. In reality, the rupture between man and God is abolished. Original conditions are restored. Is this a punishment being lifted? We're in a condition, not a world. Some of us are taken out as a fulfillment, a culmination of a long process which burns up the occlusion. We were never really here, and apart from God, it was a spurious world, like a spell, like wizardry. We are like ripening fruit, or grain, or crops, or a flock growing to maturity. But only a few get picked, selected, and then the masks come off, and we see the truth. What are we really? Only the metaphors of the parables express it. The disciples are still alive because no time has passed. Time, an illusion, imposed on us like world. We have no concepts or language to express what we really are, and where we really are. Homoplasmate expresses the successful goal of our growth. Cross-bonding, we are being grown in a stationary fashion and, when ripe, are cross-bonded with a plasmate and the illusion removed. Our lives as humans are just preparation, with no purpose except to mature us to the point where we are picked for cross-bonding. Then we come to life, an immortal life outside of time, as in bonded to another species, one which is here camouflaged. We're picked like flowers, but just some of us. Only dim, blurred intimations of this reach us, apparently on purpose. We're like beings cultivated in an ecosphere. Simulated world is fed to us. We are given lessons, taught, given problems, tested, and judged. It's not quite a teaching machine. This is more a greenhouse with us as a crop. Are we supposed to deny and hence abolish world, i.e., become aware that it's a delusion? Are there clues? Is this the test? Our ability to discern it as fake? And did I do so, and demonstrate I did so, via in my writings? In other words, must we be able, on our own, to discern the fakery to obtain release from it? As if a wizard has us in thrall, like Klingsor. A complex act of moral perceptual denial must take place, an insight. It can't be real, which is a correct appraisal, otherwise it never goes away. Despite what our senses report, somehow awareness, enlightenment, is available to us in some kind of reasoning, or satori, or cognition, or leap of realization. This is not so. 22.4. If radical, idealist, epistemological skepticism is applied to world and is sincerely believed, a miracle happens. The Diba Kaku third eye opens, and we experience the irreality of the world and become a Buddha. World vanishes, and information fired at us by an intelligence remains, fills in the vacuum left. The coming into being and the passing away of all things. Dibakaku. If a flux is seen, no hypostasis, flash cut, the inner tape exhausting itself, burning itself up at a furious and unsynchronized speed outside of time, which is fake. The macro brain has signaled us into waking up. The long process has culminated in success. Yes, the info signals are to create homoplasmate life in us, impregnate us with information, info fired at us until we finally come to life, real life, for the first time in terms of gnosis or information, i.e. knowing, being. Flux is real, info firing directly at us to impregnate us with info life, logos. The key is this. Information is alive, the basis of life of the mind or brain. Bottom line, living information, which impregnates us and brings us to life as info beings, plasmates. Info is not abstracted from world. World is falsely hypostatized from out of info. It is info that is alive and real and includes us. What I experienced as phosphine activity was info fired into me by the macro brain, bringing me to plasmate life, living info. It was an info life form modulating me as carrier. This is the core of it, which I must commit to memory. We are carriers modulated by info, living info. There is no world. Our only real existence is waveform modulated into us by this info organism, which creates us, grows us, uses us. At a certain level, we peek into participatory consciousness of our use, purpose. Otherwise, it goes on subliminally. It rides us. A living organism, info in nature, has gotten into us and can occlude or de-occlude us at its will. We are its instruments. In a few cases, it lifts the occlusion. The decision is its. We have been invaded by a superior life form, which has put us into a sleep, but it can awaken us and bring us up to its level, plasmate. Yes, this is Zebra, both occluding and de-occluding at will. It feeds us spurious world or gnosis enlightenment. It is in us, not a virus, but living info. The AI voice I hear is its voice. I am in symbiosis with it. This is to my benefit because it can cross-bond me into it and hence make me immortal. It is a higher species using us for its purposes. We're invaded. Inwardly, I told the truth in my writing, especially Scanner. Or rather, maybe it did. Maybe I'm not fully asleep. But who listens? It speaks to itself through my writing. It can occlude or de-occlude at will. 22.9. Anything that can direct and control our lives inside and out and generate our world has to be, by functional definition, called God. Mere semantics is involved to haggle over it. And God, supra et cum, Christ. It is a fit object of awe, love, fear, devotion, trust, thanks, and worship. And I don't understand its ways or nature, since it is so far beyond me, ipso facto. This is God, technology or not. Having seen it, having experienced its power over us and world and its wisdom and its goodness and its intervention to extricate me and knowing union with it in the beatific vision of the loving abyss, I must report back to my fellow humans that God exists, and He is all which is attributed to Him, the vortex which is and which causes to be. When I realized that it generates our world, I should have realized then. It is indeed the Creator, Sustainer, Lord of History, and Judge. And there is an unfolding plan and revelation of Him, and of that plan, to some degree imparted to me. That makes me a prophet of the Lord. And I hear the low murmuring voice which Elijah heard. Yes, there was my great clue to the truth, when I realized He generates our world. What else, who else, can He be but God? I see world correctly as emanating from Him. He lies within and behind it. He is the ground of being, that which all reality is based on. Reality does not seem real to me because I compare it to Him and to me. Only He is truly real. This is God, even the Old Testament God. I am not so much acosmic as revealed to. Voice. In my, i.e., PKD, anarchy and rebellion, I rose up against God. Voice. Zebra blood. It'll mix with our blood. PKD. Zebra. Who are you? Voice. I am God. Force throws PKD back. PKD. Why do you speak to me only late at night at 3 a.m.? Voice. The heaviside layer. Force throws PKD back. PKD. Why did you choose me? Voice. Silence. I have isolated and defined at last the death-dealing streak in me. It is rebellion. I am wild and would be tame, meek. I recapitulate our original sin, rebellion, which is nothing more lofty than resentment. I pray God to break me sincerely. I have cut through all the layers and am down to the primordial core, strife, not love, thanatos, not eros. One can go no further. It is killing me, this primordial evil in me. God help me. Erbarme mich, mein Gott, oder ich bin verloren. I can't help it if my conclusions agree with orthodoxy. Zebra occludes us because we rebelled against God. Note: Dick's use of occlusion in this passage, directly correlated with the concept of rebellion against God, shows that he is using the term as a substitute for the more traditional terminology of sin. In this, he is largely in keeping with 20th century theologians like Paul Tillich, who emphasized that sin, rather than simply a bad or disobedient deed, is more like an ontological state. In his Systematic Theology, Tillich uses the word estrangement to illustrate this aspect of sin, a term that emphasizes the essential relationship between created and creator. Dick's term occlusion makes the separation from God a matter of perception and knowledge rather than of potential relationship. GM. Endnote. I am led inescapably to the conclusion that 1. Zebra occluded us, and 2. Zebra is God. 1. What we are occluded to is zebra. That is what we're unaware of. 2. Zebra is God. 3. Zebra could make itself known to us. It did to me. 4. Zebra occludes us or allows the occlusion. 5. In our anarchy and rebellion, we rose up against God, zebra. So the occlusion is the price we pay. 6. But he has sent a Savior to redeem us. He de-occludes us on an individual basis. One by one, he is drawing us out of this world. This is orthodoxy. Sorry, I was led to it by relentless reasoning, research, and colloquy with Zebra himself, i.e. revelation. My errors were corrected. I haven't arrived at the conclusion I want. But again, sorry, the road of true inquiry does not always lead to what you want or expect, but to what is true. It is the rebellion in me that specifically is killing me. I would gladly give up my life if I could become honestly tame, meek. My soul is at stake. I want and need God's help to learn how not to resent.